I speak to you in the name of God. Amen.
Amen.
To tell you the truth, I'm a little tired. Not just because our two grandchildren came for a sleepover on Friday night, but that's tiring enough. It doesn't seem as if I should be so tired. I only work for you half time. So there are days I don't come to the office. I do have hours away from the church when I could do my own thing. But I'm really tired. It's been that kind of year. Since last year, about this time, when we were about to close down and cover up and protect ourselves against this strange virus. At first, I scrambled with the wondrous help of our parish administrator to figure out how to keep going. Like most churches, we were not allowed to have worship with people present for a while. So we improvised, figured out how to utilize Facebook, and began to live stream our worship. It was a stressful time, and stress makes you tired. I was worried about all of you, another incubator of weariness. I spent hours calling you, trying to stay in touch. We had to meet by Zoom, Bible studies, prayer groups, vestry meetings, and it was very tiring. Everything I did seemed more complicated. Shopping at Publix, stopping to pick up prescriptions, finding a pool to swim in, worrying about my son in Buffalo, worried about my family here in Wesley Chapel. I kept going, we all did, but I am really tired, and I bet you are too. So what kind of trick is it that when we come to church today, we hear a gospel reading that leaves us breathless? We've been following Jesus from his baptism to the launch of his ministry in the synagogue at Capernaum. And now, today, he takes off. And I get tired trying to keep up with him. Immediately, says the Greek text, Jesus left the synagogue. Engus is the word in Greek. And it happens over and over in Mark. Everywhere Jesus goes in the Gospel of Mark, he goes immediately. Like a hyperactive kid grown up, everything goes at full speed. Even the grammar of this passage is tiring. And he came, and the fever left her, and she served them, and the whole city was gathered together, and he would not permit the demons to speak, and in the morning, and Simon pursued him, and he said to him, and he went throughout all Galilee, and. Norma Muse, my 11th grade English teacher, would have a stroke. Bad grammar, maybe, but it makes the point, doesn't it? Jesus started out and never slowed down. He had things to do. He had a kingdom to proclaim, people to call to repentance, sick to heal, poor to lift, hungry to feed. And I get tired just listening to the story. I can't imagine how tired the disciples must have felt at times. Maybe it's that way with all leaders. Once they start, they need to rush through to the end. I think it's interesting that all of our recent presidents have felt the need to rush through things immediately. With the words of the oath of office still lingering on the wind, the new president sits at the desk in the Oval Office and signs executive orders. It's not even a partisan thing. The last three presidents, at least, have done this, making a statement, surging out of the starting gate, determined to move ahead while the moment is at hand. But I'm tired. I'm tired from the emotional and leadership demands of the past year. I'm tired from the brutal political season. Tired from just the physical wear and tear of trying to keep things going in this disruptive, fearful, wearying time. So I suppose I'm not as eager as I might be to jump to attention when Jesus immediately moves around Galilee and tries to jumpstart the kingdom of God. How about you? You must be tired too, some of you. In spite of all the things that threaten to divide us, we must share an abiding tiredness here in early February of 2021. So let me propose a way of imagining the next few months of our life And as tired as you may be, come with me, because there is no real alternative. Immediately, the people of St. Catharines heard the good news of God. They knew that even in their weariness, they were called by Jesus to follow and to go with him. And they rose from their weary places of rest and followed. And they continued meeting together for prayer and praise and to come with one heart to the Lord's table. And they continued making their offerings to enable the ministry of their Lord. And they called each other to say hello, to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And they moved ahead with their search for a new rector, knowing that weariness cannot mask the need for diligence. And they noticed that Jesus' ministry was filled with healing, prayer, and offering. And they resolved that they would be a community of healing, prayer, and offering. And they resolved to keep going, as Jesus kept going throughout his entire life. I know how tired I am when I go 2 weeks without playing my French horn. I know how deep the weariness stretches when I realize that several weeks have gone by since I last entered the pool to swim. I realize I'm putting off appointments I need to make. I'm finding quick dinners to eat or have them delivered instead of making dinner at home. On a less critical level, I know I am tired when I show up at the church office one day in slacks, sandals, and sports shirt instead of my clerical collar and black shirt. All little things, but signs of weariness. I know how weary you are, many of you. You've been working as hard as you can, but it takes more energy. You're teaching your kids at school, but it takes more strength, and you worry more. You're trying to make sure elderly parents are stay safe and away from harm. You keep coming to church, singing in the choir, ushering, acolyting, fixing the altar, reading lessons, running the video camera, bringing food offerings, counting money, doing all the things we do. But it's all very tiring, and we are tired. So listen again to this hyperactive gospel reading. It leaves you kind of breathless. We struggle to keep up with Jesus' constant motion. Except, right in the middle of this passage, Jesus rushes off to pray. And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. That's how you do it. That's how you rush around in the madness of bad grammar conjunctions and the head over heels immediately. That's how you do it and keep your soul and your wits about you. Life has really been and. We are tired, and we have so much further to go. But even Jesus stopped to rest and to pray. So can we. If I just admonish you and say, you know, don't rush around so much, don't worry about everything, just relax, you'd throw prayer books at me, I think. So let me say it a different way. Let me say to you and to me, to all of us, let us go forward with all the things we have to do. Let us move quickly and with strength and hope. But when our limbs fail to lift us, when our minds cloud over, when our purpose seems to lag, when our divisions seem to overwhelm us, let us rise and go to a place and pray. It worked for Jesus. It will work for us. When I served as rector of St. Michael's Church in Litchfield, Connecticut, a dear parishioner lost her son and her husband in a short period of time. Her son died of AIDS in the late 1980s. And at his funeral, Joan chose to call up Isaiah for comfort. Even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Not too long later, her husband died after a long battle with Lou Gehrig's disease. Once again, we gathered to grieve and find hope. And once again, Joan returned to Isaiah for comfort. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I read those verses. God must know what we need. So by the invisible hand of the Holy Spirit, on this Sunday when we are tired and weary, we have received the gift of prophetic utterance that shines with promise. I read these verses at the funeral of my father, who died after 93 years of a busy and active life. I read them again at the funeral of my mother, who died at 99 and a half, after a really busy and active life. We read these verses when I was installed as Dean of St. Paul's Cathedral in Buffalo, as if we knew we would need to be lifted up when we grow weary. And we read these verses when I retired. Retired from St. David's Church in West Seneca, New York, feeling very weary and faint. And we hear them today, read so beautifully. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We are tired and we are weary. It's been a difficult year for everybody. So come with me. Let us continue in our journey. Let us follow Jesus and. Let us do the work of disciples. Let us heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. When we need rest, let us, together with Jesus, go to a quiet place and pray. And let us wait for the Lord, who shall renew our strength. Amen.